You've heard us talking about over the past few months, it's been a little while, but we talked about what happened, I think it was over a year ago now, 2 years ago almost, in Cuba at our embassy, workers that were stricken with some mysterious illness.
Mm-hmm.
Was it psychological warfare? What was going on? Was it some sort of sonic warfare? Our friend Robert Bartholomew was talking to us back then, has talked to us about it over the months and years about whether something happened there or not, or was it a form of mass hysteria? Robert's back on the phone with us. Good morning, sir.
Greetings from New Zealand.
How is New Zealand this time of year?
We're going into the warmer weather right now, but it's still pretty cool outside. Cool is like 60 degrees during the day, so it's a very different definition of cool than in Chicago.
Well, and it's actually been about 60 degrees here, which is kind of cool for us. You know, we've coming off some heat this week and coming back into some cool, and I'm forgetting. So that's right. So you're headed towards summertime now in New Zealand, correct?
That's right. And right now, probably half of all New Zealanders are watching television because there's a big rugby match between Australia and New Zealand right now.
Oh,
and
really?
It's rugby league, yes. I'm not watching it. I'm one of the other 50%.
You have not converted yet in your life in New Zealand to being an avid rugby fan?
Well, we do get the NFL here, and we get the college football. So I really enjoy the college football and the NFL. It's I grew up with it, so it's what you're used to, isn't it?
But is it hard for you to watch it? Are they showing it on delay so it's at normal times there, or are you having to get up late at night or early in the morning to see those games?
Yeah, that's true, like 4 in the morning for some of these games. You know what's really interesting? When you watch something, this is cultural, when you watch something like, for example, Australian rules football or the rugby league in New Zealand, the way they play rugby, it just looks like it's mass chaos and everybody's cheating all the time on every play and they're pushing them and all this
right.
stuff. And then after you've watched it a couple of times, you understand the rules and you understand what's going on. I mean, sometimes before some of these Australian rules games, they're actually like punching each other and elbowing them really hard, knocking them around, and that's considered legal.
And that's just part of the rules that's okay to do.
Yeah, it's different.
It sounds like it. Well, it's good to talk to you again, and I'm really curious if you've seen this article that was in the New York Times on September 1st. The headline said, "Microwave weapons are prime suspect in ills of U.S. embassy workers."
Yes, I did. I saw that article. And what's interesting is I'm on my fourth publication. I published in four science journals on this, and I keep updating it with the latest news.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to emphasize is, you know, this is the case that just won't die.
Right.
But what I want to emphasize is that there's always rogue scientists out there that believe in Bigfoot or space aliens or this or that. I'm a mainstream scientist. You know, I'm not out there on a limb.
Right.
And the last time you had me on, I criticized the JAMA article, the journal in the article in the Journal of the Australian Journal in the Australia. Let's start that again. The Journal of the American Medical Association, which
right.
is probably the second-ranked medical journal in the world. And they had come out with this study which said it appears that there are concussion-like symptoms and white matter tract changes to the brain. And when you actually look at the data, that's not the case. They had overstretched the limitations of the data, and they had speculated. And I can tell you, I was not the only one. There were a number of people, that neurologists, who were highly critical of that article. And I think the only reason that article ever got published and accepted for publication was because of the topic. And it's such an important and interesting topic that's going on right now. But when it actually came out, there was a commentary and there was an editorial in that journal where they really beat it up. It was savaged. And then since then, they published an article, a letter by myself and several other scientists sharply criticizing the study. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing up the study. It's because the New York Times article, and you would know this, journalists are always looking for another angle. So what they did was they interviewed Dr. Douglas Smith, who was one of the main members of the research team that published the original article in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And he speculated that, well, it could be microwaves as well. Well, it could be just about anything, I suppose. I mean, it's just speculation, but there's no evidence for this. And what I find fascinating is when the JAMA article appeared, there was not a single word in their study about microwaves. They looked at the possibility of sonic weapons and the concussion-like symptoms and the white matter tract changes. And, of course, white matter tract changes are common in everything from depression to dementia to normal aging. And the concussion-like symptoms, there's no structural changes to the brain when you look at the scans. I mean, and it's all open to interpretation. And that's what these scientists who were critical of the study were pointing out. It's kind of like you see what you expect to see. So the fact that they interviewed one of the members of this study that has been discredited at this point, or let's just say the evidence certainly isn't there, and I think it was somewhat embarrassing that they came out and made the claim. It's not that they did the study. It's not that they had this data. It's that they overstepped the limitations of the data that they had and were making, they were in the bounds of speculation there. So I think they were embarrassed by that. And then so the Times is looking for another angle, so they interview him, and he says, well, it could be microwave weapons. The problem with microwave weapons is you would have to have an antenna, something on the size of an antenna at a major airport, and it would have to be very close to the person. And then you think to yourself, well, maybe somebody has erected something like this, and they pointed it at the U.S. Embassy in Cuba. Okay, fine. But here's the thing, and a lot of people don't realize this. It didn't happen at the U.S. Embassy in Cuba. It happened to staff members of the U.S. Embassy, either in their homes or in one of the two major hotels in Havana. These are massive buildings. And they were deep inside the buildings when these supposed attacks took place. And to think that somebody could be targeted deep inside one of those two massive hotels or in your own home, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Someone has spent millions of dollars to erect some type of secretive antenna, but it's just very, very implausible. And it just doesn't make sense. The only explanation at this point that makes sense to me is the conventional science one, which is mass psychogenic illness, mass hysteria.
But in a scientific paper that same month, James C. Lynn of the University of Illinois, a leading investigator of the Frey effect, described the diplomatic ills as plausibly arising from microwave beams. Dr. Lynn is the editor-in-chief of Bioelectromagnetics, a peer-reviewed journal that explores the effects of radio waves and electromagnetic fields on living things. In his paper, he said high-intensity beams of microwaves could have caused the diplomats to experience not just loud noises, but nausea, headaches, and vertigo, as well as possible brain tissue injury. The beams, he added, could be fired covertly, hitting only the intended target.
But it's all speculation. Where's the data? They don't have the data.
Clearly, it is
all speculation. You can speculate on all sorts of things.
Absolutely. But there are people out there. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. I'm trusting the New York Times is finding people that make sense to interview. But, you know, when you and I first talked, you said we don't know of any of this that's being built or any testing or anything like this. And now it sounds like we're hearing, well, they have tested these things. They have looked into these types of things. You know, we had talked about sonic and audio things back then, but now they're talking about microwave. So it's different. But do you think that this is all still easily dismissible? Or are you now more on, hey, show me some data or else let's just quit talking about this? Because it is, like you said, it's just speculation at this point that, hey, it could be this, hey, it could be that. And they mention, strikes with microwaves, some experts now argue, more plausibly explain reports of painful sounds, ills, and traumas than do other possible culprits, sonic attacks, viral infections, and contagious anxiety, which I'm guessing is another term for mass hysteria, right?
Yes. You know, if you scour the internet, you'll find a lot of claims about the military engaging in secret experiments with sure. microwave weapons and all sorts of weapons. Not long ago, the science journal Nature published a review on the progress of the development of microwave weapons. I know this because I've been researching this for another article that I'm writing. And it concluded that despite 50 years of research on high-powered microwaves, the U.S. military, has yet to produce a usable weapon. And the title of their article, of the research, was the review of the research was Wasted Energy. If they have usable microwave weapons or sonic weapons, why the hell didn't they use them in Iraq? Why don't they use them in Syria? They don't, and people die because these weapons are, you know, the other thing that gets me is when we criticize, myself and other scientists criticize the JAMA study, and they published our correspondence in the Journal of American Medical Association recently, the researchers came out and said, well, there's stuff that we can't tell you about because we got the information from the government and we're working with the U.S. government. Okay, fine. But that's the problem. That's a giant red flag. You can't reach into your back pocket and pull out the, well, we know stuff that we can't report on card. You can't do that. And the other thing I want to say is when they published their article, and this is absolutely true, and nobody can dispute what I'm going to say, when they published their research in the Journal of the American Medical Association, probably the second most respected journal in the world for medicine, they got it wrong. What they described as mass hysteria, they talked about malingering and collusion. That they totally and completely misunderstood the literature. They did not understand the literature. And they're asking us to trust them when they have, and these are reputable scientists, they have not taken the time to read, research, and fully understand the literature. That's why, you know, I know somebody who has contacted me, a top neurologist, who said, you know, the Journal of the American Medical Association had me review that article, and I rejected it, but they decided to publish it anyway. And the problem is, you know, I grew up as a journalist. I started my career in journalism in 1977 as a radio journalist in upstate New York. And you're always looking for another angle. And that's what this is. There's kind of a lapse now, and now that you're looking for another angle on the story. Now it's the speculation about microwaves. Mm-hmm. I think that this case will finally be solved, but it's not going to be solved until we get the Freedom of Information Act documents, which I've applied for and I'm still waiting for them, and then we can see the early correspondence and how this whole thing developed and what's really going on behind the scenes. Because it doesn't look like to me that we're getting the whole picture here.
So what's your guess going to be, Robert, that this is just mass hysteria, but people want to make more of it because it's Cuba and because it's advantageous? Or is it going to be the government's not revealing everything and maybe something more is going on here?
Well, if the government's not revealing, I don't think that they've got some secret microwave weapon out there. I don't think that's it. As I've said in the past, this case can be summed up in a single sentence. When you hear the sound of hoofbeats in the night, first think horses, not zebras. I mean, the first few people started to become ill, and they said they heard popping noises in their ears and stuff like this. Members of the State Department doctors, because this was in the testimony in the Marco Rubio Senate hearings and last January, they said, we immediately assumed that it was some type of sonic attack. Really? There's a lot of other plausible explanations that could have been other than some type of sonic attack. And then what they did was, after that small number were affected, they started counseling people who were going to Cuba, telling them, look, we think staff members at the embassy may have been the subject of a sonic attack, and that you should be aware of this, and these are some of the symptoms, and you may hear a noise. Well,
once
people going over there,
sure.
it's mass suggestion, isn't it? And then the people who did the JAMA study said, well, yes, but some of the people weren't even aware that this was going on. Well, but when you look at the data, they didn't start interviewing these people until, on average, 203 days after they reported having the symptoms. And human memory is very fallible, and you can easily get things confused. And, of course, everybody would have been talking about this at the time, I'm sure, because if somebody said to you, oh, you're going over there, there might be some sonic attack you might be the subject of, I mean, it's going to be the buzz of the embassy.
Yeah. So, in the end, Robert Bartholomew still believes that way more likely that this is more just something happened, people talked about it, it gets kind of put into your head, and this is just a form of mass hysteria. You're not believing that there are microwave weapons that have been developed to the point that we are just selectively aiming them at U.S. embassy workers and not unleashing them on the rest of the world if they have that technology.
Yeah. On the weight of evidence at this time, mass psychogenic illness hypothesis is the best explanation given the data that I have seen. But I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
The United States, well, we've had what? We had the State Department episode in with the embassy in Cuba. Now there's 25 people that have been affected. And then you had, after that happened, you had several dozen American tourists who had visited Cuba over the past 5 years who reported to the Associated Press that they stayed in one of those two hotels, heard strange noises, and felt unwell as well. Mm-hmm. Then you had a couple of diplomats in Uzbekistan report hearing some unusual noises and feeling unwell. And then a few months ago, you had several diplomats in China, American diplomatic staff, saying that they felt unwell and heard strange noises at the same time. Or at least within an hour of feeling unwell. The United States has nearly 300 physical embassies and consulates and diplomatic missions around the world with thousands of workers, everywhere from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. And right now, all the staff are on the lookout for strange sounds and vague feelings of unwellness. This is a classic mass suggestion, mass hysteria setup. I would suggest to you that the groundwork has been laid for more so-called attacks by mass suggestion. And I think this is just going to go on and on until we get the FOI documents.
And with that, you'll have enough data to say, look at this. Look at how this – you'll see the timeline a little more and how things happen and be able to paint a clearer picture of how mass suggestion just worked out in this case.
And what was going on behind the scenes and what people were really saying as opposed to what they're reporting in the news. I've investigated several mysterious illness outbreaks, and when I got the Freedom of Information Act documents, it didn't take long to figure out what was going on and what people were reporting publicly and then what was really going on behind the scenes and what they're saying privately. So it'll be interesting. These things take time, and as I've said before, the wheels of progress in America and in science move slowly,
but
they move, and we will eventually figure out what's happened.
In the meantime, Robert, you know how you start nipping this in the bud?
How?
Anonymous op-ed to the New York Times. You are the adult in the room, straightening us out, letting us know it's just mass hysteria. Chill out. Maybe that's been done already.
That's a good one.
I've been waiting all night for that one for you, Robert. Robert Bartholomew, our friend in New Zealand. We will check in with you again. I always appreciate you jumping on the phone. Stay out of trouble and enjoy the rugby game today.
Okay, I've got it on tape now. Have a good morning.
All right, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Robert Bartholomew, our friend in New Zealand. It is a fascinating story, but Robert's sticking by his guns, saying, listen, you got to look a little deeper. Don't just read the words that are on the printed page, but think about everything going on here. We're not hearing anything that says this truly is. It's just speculation and, you know, people grasping at, well, how could this have happened? Nobody wants to just accept. And you can understand people don't want to just accept. It's all in your heads. They want to know that there's a villain out there causing these problems.